The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Imagine going through one's days, living as a thief and a rebel. A thief believing that our days are not a gift, but something we take and take for granted. A rebel because we want to do what we want, and to live as if God was not God. It would be a criminal life. And imagine if this thieving, rebellious, criminal life came face to face with the King in the final moment, when everything was being taken away, and to have the King say, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." How can Jesus say that? He's in mortal agony, nails through his hands and his feet, a spear about to pierce his heart. In his agony, Jesus, who is God in our flesh, has all the time in the world. That's how he exercises his kingship. All the time in the world. In the book of Revelation, the risen Christ will say, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All time and all ages belong to me." How could we, thieves and rebels on a bad day, how could we receive paradise from the King today, exactly today, and actually hope for it and claim it tomorrow too, and the next day, and all the days for the rest of our life, no matter how many of them we have? Two proposals. One, the St. Vincent's Christmas book comes early this year. It's a year of daily offerings. There's a page-long meditation for every day of the year. And this is the proposal. If we begin each day together with receiving the particular gift Christ through the church's calendar wishes to give us, if we receive, we're not thieves, we're recipients of a gift. If we receive that gift every day moving forward for the next 365, we will also be able to give. We'll be able to make a morning offering. Those of us of a certain age, if we went to Catholic grade school, we had to memorize our morning offering. This book has 365 new ones. The meditation leads to a word for us to carry throughout the day. And then it also provides an evening review, just a single sentence, examining how we carried the gift that we received at the beginning of the day through the day, so we could surrender it all to the Lord at the end. And then it gives the morning offering. This keeps us from the criminal life, from the life lived outside of the kingship of Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the second proposal. And I have to tell you, I have been waiting my entire priesthood to share this with you. I've been thinking about it for decades, and this coming year will be my 25th anniversary as a priest. And the staff of St. Vincent's helped me to put this together as a silver anniversary gift for all of us. It's a calendar specifically for our parish, but every single detail is designed to take the ordinary calendar, the months, the weeks, the days, and to revisualize it in terms of the seasons of the church's year. So every family, please take one of these home. I dare say you will never have come across a more beautiful calendar. And if you have, give me one so that we can make this better, because we're going to do this every single year. On the first page is a little letter from me under an image of Christ the King. And there's a passage from a Kentucky farmer that I've shared with you before, but that really is the central meditation of the calendar. This farmer says, "It's easy for me to imagine that the next great division of the world will be between people who wish to live as creatures and people who wish to live as machines." We have all sorts of gadgets that allow us to keep time, but if we're honest, often we can feel and be enslaved to those. This calendar is an instrument of prayer and an act of faith for us to recover time, not as an invention of man, but as a gift from God. No more thieving, no more rebellion. In this last week of the liturgical year, the invitation is to read through the first three pages of the calendar before we put it up somewhere prominently in the home, because the calendar will start with Advent. So the purple page, we'll put that up next Sunday in our home. But for this week, we need to read the pages before it. On one of the pages, there are seven ways this calendar is meant to help us reclaim who we are in the eyes of Christ the King. The first way I've already shared, claiming the grace of each day through that morning offering book. The second is to actually learn how to feast and to feast well. Third is actually to learn how to fast and to fast well. The fourth is actually how to set aside time that is entirely for God in adoration, especially at our oratory. Fifth is to set aside time for confession and a conversion that isn't prompted by guilt and anxiety, but with a deep desire for growth and thriving. Sixth, to write down on the calendar the most important dates in our past life where the Lord has blessed us and our family members and friends, and to keep those and to share those because they are alive. And then finally, to use the calendar to plot the longer term goodnesses. What's our vacation going to look like in the coming year? And what are the spiritual fruits we're hoping to get from it, for example? It's my hope for the next 7 days at the Masses at St. Vincent's to preach on each one of these seven ways the calendar will help us. Also, before the Advent posting, I list on this page the principal spiritual exercises that I've been talking about for the past 12 years. They're all written down so that we can actually think ahead. How's this gonna be the most grace-filled Advent ever? The most blessed Christmas season ever? How am I not only gonna recover from Christmas, but actually take it to the next level in ordinary time? What's the conversion of my heart in Lent in the coming year? What could that possibly look like? How is Christ risen from the dead going to be celebrated in the 50 days of Easter? In that long stretch of ordinary time leading to the great harvest feast of next solemnity of Christ the King. How are the roots and shoots and fruits of my spiritual life going to be abundant? It's my hope that we can start out by just taking one of these per family, but I want to have lots more of them available so that we can actually give them as gifts to other people. Because this whole initiative is actually claiming paradise. Our King, crowned on that throne, wishes to liberate us from thievery and rebellion, wants us to live not as criminals stealing time, but as his brothers and sisters, to live as the family of God, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We have no idea how much earthly time remains to us. In one sense, it doesn't really matter, because when we give our life day by day to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
We can live the taste of eternity now. Every day, every moment can be informed by paradise. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Yes, Lord. Yes.